So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, which is entitled Ajahn Delivered by the Vishnu Buddhas, text number 23. Tam vivaksham abhipretya Mahapurusha kinkara sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. End quote. The Vishnu Duttas make Ajamil aware of devotional service so that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. In the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord is very intense. Om Gyanabhinandasya Gyananjanashlakaya Chakshurunvitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gurudeva Shri Vasudeva Gurudeva Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, as Prabhupada says in the last sentence, in the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord Krishna is very intense. And that is something we all should be aspiring for. And that is highly recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the prime devotional service. So Ajamil, as you know, if you have been following the last two chapters, Ajamil was on his deathbed and he called the name of his son Narayan. So he had 10 sons, the youngest of which he had named Narayan. Ajamil was a Brahmana, so Ajamil was a priest, and he was trained in that way. So he was trained in the ritualistic duties of a Brahmana, or a priest. But by material association, he fell down from his priestly position or Brahmanical position. So he was one day on the order of his father, I believe, on the order of his father, he had gone to the forest to collect some flowers, fruits, and two types of grass. But on his way back, he saw a lusty man, a sight which is very common today. And today we see this everywhere. You walk down the street, you see that, especially on the weekend. So I live near the city in the inner London suburbs. So I live on the main street. It's like the seems like to be in that suburb, the epicenter where all the nightlife is. So this is an everyday occurrence. So this lusty person, he was in the Shastra described as a Shudra. He was embracing a prostitute and he was kissing her. And they both were drunk. Again, a very common sight. So somehow, when he saw this, his mind became agitated, and his dormant, lusty desires were aroused and inflamed. And he could not take this sight out of his mind. He could not take this out of his mind, and he was constantly dwelling on it. So when we meditate on something, when we think about something a lot, then very quickly we desire that object. And Krishna describes that in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So by contemplation, one begins to desire something very strongly. So because he desired that, and though Ajamil was married, he was a married person and he had kids. But because this desire was so strong, he got in touch with that prostitute and he took her as his maid or his maid servant. And he basically hired her, I don't know what the arrangement was, but he got her in his home as his full-time maid. So even by today's standard, that's really formal. You're married and you get a maid who is trying to have an affair with. and which he did have an affair with. And then he kicked out his own wife, who was again a Brahmana. She was, you know, very cultured and very devoted wife, and he kicked her out and the kids from that wife. And then he had children from this prostitute. And in this way, he passed his life. He had 10 children, and the youngest of which he had named Narayan. So because the 10th son was the youngest, he was very young, and as babies, they speak in broken language, and they do all kinds of awkward things, and that's very attractive to everyone. So he was attracted by Narayan all the time. He was in his babies. And then his time of death came. In this way, he was just absorbed in family life, and he had forgotten all his Brahminical principles and practices. He was not a devotee, but he was a Brahmana. So in this way, his life passed. He was just absorbed in his everyday affairs, which people do. Like maybe, you know, going, picking up the kids from school, sending them to school, taking them to swimming lessons, catching up with friends and family on the weekend, working on the week, talking about work, home politics, then talking about the national politics. And this way most people just pass their life, and then the time of death comes. So in this way they pass their life like animals. It's no different than an animal or an ass. So in this way Ajahn passed his life, and then his time of death came. And because he had named his son Narayan, and Narayan was very young, he was thinking about him all the time. When he would describe, when he would eat, he would ask him to come and eat with him. And then at the time of death, he saw the Yamadutas, because he had lived a very sinful life after meeting the prostitute. He had engaged in all kinds of negative activities. Cheating, deceit, causing a lot of grief to others. And then the Yamadutas, the order carriers, the agents of Yamaraj, who is the son of the sun god. And Yamaraj is responsible for giving us justice. Yamaraj is responsible for rectifying us, right? For punishing us, to purify us. So his order carriers, his agents, came to collect him, to take him to the abode of Yamaraj to be judged for his activities and to be given the appropriate punishment. So at that time he called out Narayan, and because he called out the name of Narayan offenselessly, the Vishnu Dutas, they appeared there. So the Vishnu Dutas are the agents of Lord Vishnu. They appeared there, there was a whole conversation between them, and at this point they both had departed. So the Vishnu Dutas asked the Yamadutas why they were taking away Ajamil when he was purified. And they asked him that, on what condition are you taking him? On what condition do you punish people? What is your criteria for punishing people? Who is eligible for punishment? And there was this whole conversation, fascinating conversation between them. And there the Vishnu Dutas explained to the Yamadutas that one who has chanted the name of Krishna or Narayan, they can destroy all their sinful activities. That's how powerful the chanting of the holy names is. That's what we are doing every day. We don't realize, but the Maha Mantra is extremely powerful. The holy name is very, very potent. Whether we realize or we don't realize, the chanting of the holy name, doing japa or singing in kirtan, will have its effect. Whether you believe in it or you don't believe it. It's going to work. It's like medicine. You take medicine, whether you believe in the vaccine or not, once it's injected, it's going to do something, right? or whether you believe in any other medication or not, or whether you believe the fire will burn me or not, you put your hand in the fire, it's going to burn you. So in the same way, when we chant the holy name, it's going to purify us. And that's exactly what happened. So when Ajahnuk chanted Narayana, all his sinful activities were destroyed. So when he chanted Narayana, his sinful activities from the current life, not only from the current life were destroyed, but from his millions and millions of lives before were also wiped out. That's how powerful the chanting of the holy names is. So we live in this material world since time immemorial, because we are eternal. And we have been in this material world from time immemorial, trying to please ourselves independent of Krishna. We are trying to be happy ourselves by our own agenda, in our own way. But lifetime after lifetime, because we are interacting with the three modes of nature, sooner or later we perform ugra karma, sinful activities. That's just the nature of this world. Sooner or later, you're going to get implicated. And that's what the Yamadutas told the Vishnu Dutas. That they asked them, who is eligible for punishment? They said, actually, everyone is eligible, because sooner or later, they're going to perform ugra karma, sinful activities. So even you might be driving your car and over this Christmas break, we had gone to the country and my car was filled with bugs, because we were striking, I don't know, hundreds of bugs killed, butterflies and so many types of bugs. So just being in this world, you're inflicting violence on someone, whether we, even if you don't realize it. So in some way, we might be doing good activities also, like helping others, doing good karma. But we're also doing bad karma. And especially in today's age, the four sinful activities are very, very prominent. Meat eating, illicit sex, gambling and intoxication. Our modern society is, the economy is, these are the pillars of the economy, these four activities. Abattoirs. So people are engaging in so much negative karma, and that's why there's so many problems in the world. This COVID is also a reaction of sinful activities. Eating animals, then from eating animals, so many diseases spread, and this is what has happened. So when Ajahnuk chanted the holy name, it wiped out his karma, not only from his current life, but from all his previous lives. That's how powerful the chanting of the holy name is. And that's the opportunity we have been given. Not only does the holy name clear our karma, but it actually gives us love of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, all glories to this Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the desires accumulated from countless births. And which stops this cycle of birth and death. And it gives us love of Krishna. So the holy name, it gives us love for Krishna. That's what it can give us. And it's giving us that gradually. If we chant the holy name offensively, then we can attain love of Krishna very quickly. But our problem is we are chanting the holy name with offenses. But still, it's working. Still, it's working. Still, our karma is being cleared. And here, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, when Ajahnuk was about to say something to them. So Ajamil heard this conversation, and he could follow that conversation. And he was very, he had become purified, and he wanted to glorify the Vishnu Dutas and thank them. But the Vishnu Dutas, they disappeared because they wanted, they didn't want to be glorified themselves, but they wanted their master, Narayan, to be glorified. So they disappeared. So a devotee does not hanker to be glorified. In the material world, we all are hankering for name and fame. Everyone's hankering for name and fame. You see on social media, people are doing pranks, all kind of silly pranks. It's for the name and fame, how many likes they've got, or how many millions of views, or how many hundreds of thousands of comments they've got. So it's a lot for name and fame. People do anything for name and fame. And if they don't get it, lose all motivation to do that activity. So a devotee, the Vishnu Dutas, they didn't want the name and fame. They didn't want to be glorified. They wanted their master, Narayan, to be glorified. So they disappeared from the scene. And they also disappeared so that in order to increase Ajamil's absorption in Krishna consciousness. Because in the mode of separation, glorification of Krishna is very intense. That's something very, can be hard to understand. But in separation, the glorification of the Lord becomes very intense. And this is something that is recommended in our sampradaya. Even like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shikshastakam, he says, Yugayatam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahinam. So Lord Chaitanya says, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years old. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So this process is recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This love and separation. So we have to be absorbed in something. Right? That's the nature of the mind. We have to be absorbed in something. So it is recommended that we become absorbed in Krishna. And how do we become absorbed in Krishna? We become absorbed in Krishna by taking up some service. So we need some service which will challenge us. And then when we rise to that challenge, we naturally become absorbed. You're forced to become absorbed. If you have a service that challenges you, then you have to take shelter of Krishna. Because I can't do this, I feel inadequate to do this. This task is beyond me, it's insurmountable, this service is. Then you're naturally, you will approach Govinda, Lord Chaitanya, to ask for empowerment. And in that way, we become absorbed in Krishna. Otherwise, then we are absorbed in material affairs. If we don't not absorbed in Krishna, then naturally, you have to become absorbed in material affairs. So for many people, that absorption is in the form of their work, their career, aspiring to climb the corporate ladder, or become very successful in their business, or just absorbed in their investments. What's my share portfolio doing like? What next property am I buying? Where am I investing? That becomes the prime absorption. Their family, and their relatives, And that's a very boring life to be absorbed like that. It's not a very high standard of happiness. But when we become absorbed in Lord Chaitanya's service, then one naturally becomes happy. That absorption brings bliss. And then everything is taken care of. All your needs somehow get taken care of. So this mode of separation is recommended by Lord Chaitanya. And by doing that, one becomes more blissful and one can experience Krishna more than experiencing the Lord in person. That's what is explained. And these are the higher realms of devotional service that we need to aspire to. So even on the material plane, if you can't really experience someone in separation. You might desire them a lot, like when someone falls in love and they're separated, maybe they're different countries due to COVID or something. So they might be missing their beloved very intensely, but you actually can't experience them in full. On the material platform, it's not possible. But on the spiritual platform, by the separation, it is said that one can experience Krishna. Because on the spiritual platform, the holy name, the name, Krishna's form, his activities, they are not different from him. On the spiritual platform, the Lord's name, form, qualities and pastimes are not different from him. There's no difference between Krishna's name and him. So that's why on the spiritual platform, by that intense separation and absorption that follows, one is able to experience Krishna. But on the material platform, we might miss someone a lot, but you can't really fully experience them. We can have maybe a glimpse of this understanding when someone is really missing somebody. And like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, that's what they experienced in this intense absorption. They were able to see Krishna everywhere. So in the Shat Goswami Ashtaka, in the last prayer, it says, He Radhe Raja Devike Chalavite He Nanda Suno Buddha Shri Govardhan Kalpa Pada Padapa Tare Kalindi Vane Kuda Gosantam Iti Sarvato Raja Pure Kedaya Maha Vivala Vande Rupa Sanato Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Govardhan. There it says that the six Goswamis, they were chanting very loudly. So they were in Vrindavan. They were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan. They were actually shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? So these were the moments in executing Krishna. So we can see this is the very exalted, very elevated stage of Krishna consciousness, where they're experiencing Krishna and they're seeing Krishna everywhere. They're looking for Krishna everywhere. Even when Krishna was with the gopis, Krishna was with Radharani, and they were going in the forest, and then Krishna suddenly disappeared from Radharani's view. And then she was looking for Krishna everywhere. She could see him everywhere. She was asking the trees, the bumblebees, the different living entities. She was asking them, have you seen Krishna? Anything about Krishna, this reminded her about the Lord. And she was experiencing her love and experience of Krishna was highly intensified. And that's why the Supreme Lord, he disappeared from her view. So we have to connect with Krishna, and how do we connect? We connect with, by the chanting of the holy names. And that's why we engage in the process of sadhana bhakti. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, he has recommended that we chant every day 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra, and by doing that we can connect, we connect with Krishna. And we have to do this for our whole life, and maybe for many more, many lifetimes. But this is an endeavor worth undertaking. And by doing that, we get so much benefit, spiritually and materially. So by chanting the holy names, by reading these books, and by serving, taking up some service in the temple, or helping in some preaching, or by doing the preaching, then we have, that way we connect with Krishna. But mainly by the chanting of the holy names. And this is the easiest way to connect with Krishna, by the chanting of the holy names. Anyone can do it. Generally, in the Shastras, to come to the stage of Bhakti Yoga, you have to go through a gradual process. You have to go through Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Not everyone can do these things. Not everyone can do Ashtanga Yoga. And most people even struggle to touch their feet, their toes, let alone doing a headstand. So someone might have, they might have a disability. How can they do yoga? It's not possible. So yoga is not for everyone. And Jnana Yoga is also not for everyone. Not everyone can philosophize. Very few people can do that. But Bhakti Yoga is highly accessible. A child can. We have so many kids sitting in class. Not sure if they're getting anything. The talk is too boring. But even the kids can participate in this process. Before there was kirtan, everyone was, kids were dancing and chanting enthusiastically. So this process of Krishna consciousness is for everyone. From the young kids to the adults to the old people, everyone can do this. All you need to do is chant and offer some bhoga to the Lord. And anyone can get something, some water, and anyone can make something. Even if you don't have much money, you can make some prasad and cook something. And anyone can read these books. So this process is very accessible. But at the same time, because it's so accessible, we think and because it's given free, people don't take it seriously. But actually, it's a very powerful process. So by chanting the holy names, one can get the highest love of Krishna and be easily connected. And in the japa, one can feel the presence. So most of the time we don't feel Krishna's presence because I'm speaking about myself. Because we're chanting, I'm chanting with full of offenses, distracted, looking here, there, or at the phone. Mind is everywhere. But if we try to focus, then we can experience some higher taste, and that's experiencing Krishna. So because we don't have this realization that Krishna is non-different from his name, that's why we chant with offenses. But the remedy is the same thing. Ironically, the remedy is also the chanting. And that's what Rupa Goswami says. He says in the Nectar of Instruction, Saya Krishna Nama Charitavi Siddhavi Avidya Pito Padapada Prasanasya Narojikanu Kintra Adara Anudinam Kadao Saiva Jushta Swadhi Kramar Bhavati Tat Kada Mona Hanutri. So Rupa Goswami says, The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendently sweet like sugar candy. So the holy name is like candy, sugar candy. That's sweet. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet. So someone who has jaundice, they can't... If you give them something sweet, they can't taste it. That's their disease. But it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting the sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So we are like, we are affected by jaundice. That's why we can't taste the sweetness. That's why we struggle to chant the Mahamantra. We can't sing Kirtan too long. Or maybe we struggle to finish our 16 rounds. When we throw the beans after you go and done your 16 rounds. So that's because we are affected by this ignorance or the jaundice of ignorance. But the remedies to chant, the remedies to actually do the same thing. And when we do it, do the same thing repeatedly, then gradually our ignorance is destroyed. So by chanting in the association of devotees, that's why there is japa in the temple in the morning, to give devotees the opportunity to chant together. Or if you are a family, you can't come to the temple, to chant together as a family, or maybe with some other devotees who are living near you. When we do that as a group, it becomes easier. And with each other's enthusiasm and encouragement, it becomes easier. So Rupa Goswami, he was experiencing the highest ecstasy, and he says that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within my mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become enough. So this is what Rupa Goswami is experiencing. And we can also, this is open for us also. It's open for everyone. And actually anyone can reach it. It is possible. So that lamentation is good. So we can also lament. This kind of lamentation, oh why I don't have this taste. This is a good kind of lamentation. When will I become more Krishna conscious? When will I be able to do better service? So this is a good kind of lamentation. In the material world, everyone is lamenting. It is said that the demigods in the heavenly planets, they are always jubilant. The animals are always in a state of fear. So the demigods are always in a state of, they're always happy. The animals are always fearful. If you look at an animal, a bird is looking left, right, up and down, thinking when will the cat or some other prey, animal eat me. Even the kangaroos, they're always fearful. If you're driving past or you walk past, they run away. So most animals are always in a state of fear. But the human beings, it is said, I was reading yesterday in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the human beings are always in a state of lamentation. So we always lamenting, oh, why did I get that house? Or why did I apply for that job? Or why am I not rich? Look at this person. So we're always comparing or we're always lamenting. He asked me why I didn't have this. So this is a good kind of lamentation. This is the spiritual lamentation. And this kind of lamentation, why I'm not Krishna conscious enough, This is a good kind of meditation because it will make us more Krishna conscious. Then hopefully we'll do something about it. So by chanting the holy names, then we purify our heart, and then Krishna helps. So Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th verse, Teshaṁ satta yuktāma vajatāṁ priti pūrvakaṁ vidāṁ bhūti yogantam yena mā upayamite. So he says, to those who are constantly devoted, and those who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So the devotee is trying to serve him. If the devotee is sincerely trying to do some service, trying to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master, then Krishna from within and from without, he gives the instructions, basically gives him intelligence how to do their service better and how to not close it. So Krishna, as the super soul, as the guru, and as the Vaishnavas, so Krishna helps, so it's teamwork. So we are not alone in this. Krishna is there with us. So if we are trying, Krishna is there to help us at all steps. So it's very exciting. So we leave it there, see if you have any comments, questions, clarifications.
In the speech you mentioned Ramdas, he was a Brahmana but not a devotee. Brahmanas are always close to the deities and Lord, and what's the difference?
Okay, yeah, so good question. So Ajahnu was a Brahman, so as a priest, generally priests are worshipping deities. So and here we are worshipping deities also, right? And here everyone's a devotee, but he was worshipping deity. Or even doing yagyas, pujas, but he somehow is not considered a devotee. Okay, because a Brahmana understands Brahman. So there's three levels of God realization. There's Brahman realization, there's Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. So Brahman realization means to understand those who understand the effulgence of the Lord. Right? They take that as the end goal. So they want to merge, they want to be in the effulgence of the Lord. That's their end goal. Paramatma realization means to see the super soul within the heart. And Bhagavan means to understand that God is a person and Paramatma and Brahman are coming from Him. And in fact, everything else is also coming from Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is Krishna. So generally, Brahmanas, they come to the Brahman level. They don't go higher than that. So, and generally, Brahmanas engage in Karma Kanda. So the Karma Kanda means they're doing fruitive activities. Sort of yagyas, pujas, for material benefit. So there is a tinge of bhakti there, because when they're doing yagyas, they're doing yagyas for demigods. They're not doing yagyas for Vishnu. And even deity worship is not only for Vishnu or Krishna, but deity worship is also done for demigods. So there are so many temples dedicated to demigod worship. And the demigod worshippers generally are selfish. They're interested in, they do puja so they can fulfill their material needs. They're intelligent. You know, modern man thinks, I'm just getting everything because of my endeavor. So why do I need to go to the church or the mosque or the temple? I do a job and I get money. But they don't understand that above all that, there are demigods facilitating all of that. So, yeah, the demigod worship is a bit more intelligent. They approach the demigods to fulfill their desires, but still they're selfish because they're not doing it out of love. It's a transaction. So the Brahmanas generally facilitate this kind of worship. And that's what he was engaged in. And And in doing that, they chant mantras, and all those mantras is om. So there is a bit of bhakti there. And so Ajamila was that kind of Brahmana. He was not a Vaishnava Brahmana. He was the other kind. So there's two types of Brahmana. Here you see devotees are Vaishnava Brahmanas because they're worshipping Krishna. They're not worshipping any other deity. And it said in Bhagavad Gita, you don't need to worship any other deity. So you go to the source. You go to the source, you have covered all bases. Because everyone is part of Krishna, and the demigods are delegated by Krishna. They are empowered by Krishna to administer the universe. So why not go to the source? Everything is covered. So that's the difference.
I hope it is like a the emotion also. It is like the emotion towards the border. Brahmanas, maybe doing it, but the emotions they have towards Bhagavan will be different.
Yeah, so they're understanding, they're doing yajna, but they don't, generally they don't have the Bhagavan level of realization. So if they think, well, I do this yajna, I do these things, then I'll go in the Brahma Jyoti. Or worse, I'll become one. Mayavadis. So Mayavadis are also doing yajna. Mayavadis in person are also doing deity worship. Ajamila does not like that. Yeah, they don't have the proper understanding, and because they don't have that understanding, they can't have that path or emotion. But he was able to understand all that through the conversation between the Vishnu Buddhas and Yama Buddhas. Thank you. Anything else? No more questions? We'll end here. Thank you for your kind attendance. Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai.